This morning I have a one-time lesson. This has come about as a result of a lot of questions people have asked. Human destinies and Bible prophecy, and it's charted. We'll look at the chart after we go through the lesson itself. Believers often ask what Scripture predicts on the destinies of various people groups, be they saved or lost, people in the Old Testament, the church, the tribulation period, or the millennial kingdom. Most of the time this question comes up because people have relatives who don't know the Lord, and they're concerned, what happens if I get raptured and my relatives stay behind? Do they ever have a chance to believe in Christ? Or are they automatically doomed to hell? That kind of a thing. And so it's interesting to look at the program of God. And in the past, I've taught on prophecy in series. But if you teach on series and prophecy, there's so many details that often you get to lesson three and people are not incorporating what you learned in lesson one. And if you have five lessons, they actually get mixed up. So what this is a complete overview, not of all the events of prophecy, but just of the destinies of people. And so I'd like to go through the lesson itself. We'll look at the written part, and then we'll turn over and we'll look at the chart, and we'll work you through the chart. So we offer an overview of human destinies and Bible prophecy with a chart to answer these questions. I'd like to start off with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth and for the fact that you've told us about events that are going to occur in the future. And so we are not left to dangle and to be concerned or worry, but we have assurance as to what is going to happen in certain aspects. You certainly are very clear in regards to the destinies of people and what's going to happen to them and when. So we ask that as we get into this information that we would understand it, use it, and rely upon the Spirit of God to incorporate it in our lives, and then as we're testifying to others about Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, human destinies and Bible prophecy. We'll look at the printed material first. God is eternal, so he existed in eternity past before he created the universe. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27 says that we serve an eternal God. It's difficult for us to wrap our minds around the fact that there never was a beginning for God. As a child, I asked my mother one time, when was God born? She said, he wasn't, honey. He wasn't. You know, wow, that's really a long time. And she said, yes, but it's eternity. But in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So there was a time when time began. After the creation and the entrance of sin into the human race by Adam's fall into sin, this is Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 24, when an unbeliever dies in history, he goes to hell. And another word for hell is Hades. Luke chapter 16, verses 22 to 24. Until the Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, great white throne judgment. We'll deal with this a little later. Between Adam's fall and the start of the millennial kingdom, we can refer to it as the millennial kingdom, or MK on the chart to come, the souls of all deceased Old Testament, OT in the chart, saints and tribulation saints, tribulation is abbreviated trib on the chart, they go to heaven, according to Luke 16:22, until they are raised to enter the millennial kingdom. We know that from Daniel chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, and Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 and 5. Old Testament Enoch in Genesis 5:24, and Old Testament Elijah in 2 Kings 2:11 were raptured. In other words, they were taken alive to heaven and translated, and will return to the earth at the start of the millennial kingdom. Matthew 16:28-17:3. We know that because on the Mount of Transfiguration, both Elijah and Moses appeared with Christ in his glory. And the Revelation chapter 11, verses 11 through 12, two witnesses in the second half of the tribulation are raised and ascend to heaven to return to the earth at the start of the millennial kingdom. So what you have two Old Testament saints, Enoch and Elijah, And then in the tribulation period, you have two saints. One, I believe, is the governor, and one is the high priest, who die, and then are resurrected, and then they ascend, and they go to heaven. And they're going to come back at the millennial kingdom. However, Christians are different. When Christians die, they instantly go to heaven, 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, until the pre-tribulation rapture, when God raises them, translates living Christians, and takes both groups, that's both the resurrected believers and the translated believers, takes them to heaven to be forever with Christ. Wherever Christ goes after the rapture, we go with him, because we are seen as the bride of Christ. So that's what you keep in mind. You want to know where the church is in eternity, look where Jesus is. That's where the church is. Christ will judge the church in heaven at the Bema Seat judgment. This is not like the Great White Throne judgment where your soul is at stake. This is where your works are judged as a believer. It's an awards banquet, let's put it that way. And reward them according to the works that they did. This is 2 Corinthians 5:10, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. After the rapture comes, the seven-year tribulation period predicted in Daniel 9:27 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, among other passages. The first half of this era is predicted in Daniel 9:27 with Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 to 14, among other passages. And the second half is predicted in Daniel 9:27 with Matthew 24, 15 through 28, among other passages. There's often a big mistake where people try to teach the Matthew 24 passage as referring to the church. It does not. The church is unknown. It is not revealed in the life of Christ. We're dealing only with Israel. Believers living in this era will physically survive its hardships by faith, according to Luke 18, 7 through 8 and Matthew 24, 13, though many will be martyred for their faith in Revelation 6, 9 through 11. The military campaign of Armageddon then occurs as predicted in Revelation 19, verses 17 through 21. Christ's second coming to earth occurs at the climax of the Armageddon conflict, according to Revelation 19, verses 1 through 21. There are other passages on this. And the church also returns to earth with Christ, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:17, that says that we're forever with the Lord. And Revelation 5, 8 to 10, you have the 24 elders in heaven, and the 24 elders represent the church, and they say in that passage that we will rule with him on the earth. We're going to rule on the earth. And so we're going to be ruling on the earth during the millennial kingdom as believers. The first 30 days after Christ's return, this is according to Daniel 12, 11, the Matthew 24, verse 31, 36 to 41, and Matthew 25, 31 to 46, among other passages, those judgments occur where all living unbelievers are sent immediately to hell. So when you start the millennial kingdom, you start only with believers. It's interesting, how do we get the 30 days and the 75 days? In Daniel chapter 12, 11 and 12, Daniel says, until the end of the sacrifice, when the sacrifice is polluted, this is by the Antichrist, there are 1,290 days. Well, 3.5 years is 1,260 days. So 90 days versus the 60 days, there's 30-day overlap. So those 30 days are apparently the days when God judges. And then the angel says, blessed is he who comes to the 1,335 days. That's another 45 days beyond the 30. So you have a window of 75 days, the first 30 of which are the judgments. The last 45 are apparently cleaning up the earth, which is a mess after the Great Tribulation. And it's going to take the angels and God, everything, to settle everything down and move it around, because you still have living people on the earth. You can't move as fast as God did in Genesis 1. So you have to make it slow enough so that surviving believers of the tribulation can handle it. And then you move into the millennial kingdom. And we'll talk about that on the chart when we get to it. Then comes the resurrection of dead Old Testament saints, Daniel 12 and 13, and dead tribulation saints, Revelation 20, verses 4 and 5. So the tribulation saints who physically survive the tribulation, risen tribulation saints, risen Old Testament saints, and the post-rapture church, in other words, these are believers in all previous history, are rewarded to enter into the millennial kingdom. This is very important. The millennial kingdom is God's reward to believers throughout history, regardless what dispensation they were in. It's his reward to them for having lived by faith and trusted in him in their lifetimes, in their particular era. So it's going to be one huge, wonderful banquet there. You'll be able to talk to Abraham and Isaac. In fact, Jesus said many people will come from the east and the west and sit down and dine with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And, you know, Sarah will be there and Rebecca, all these people that we've known in scriptures will be able to talk to them. Noah, Enoch, it's going to be really a wonderful thing. And then the tribulation saints who are resurrected, and they'll be able to give their testimonies as well. The New Jerusalem. It's called New Jer, period, on the chart. New Jer does not stand for New Jersey. It stands for New Jerusalem. That is now in heaven, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and 23, likely descends partway to hover over the earth in the millennium. And the angels descend and ascend over Christ, who rules on the earth, while God the Father rules in the New Jerusalem that is hovering above the earth. We get this from John 1, 50 to 51, where Jesus talked to Nathanael and said, you will see the Son of Man, and you'll see the angels descending and ascending on the head of the Son of the Man. The implication is they're descending and ascending because they're going to the New Jerusalem, which apparently is hovering over the earth. Otherwise, it'd be so far away, you wouldn't be able to see that. But Jesus said you'll actually be able to see the angels moving up and down over the head of the Lord Jesus, carrying on orders and communication in the administration of Christ on the earth. The apostles will rule over the 12 tribes of Israel, according to Matthew 19:28, and the church will rule on the earth in Revelation 5:8-10. The souls of millennium saints who die will likely go to the New Jerusalem that hovers over the earth. Now, we get that by deduction, because, you know, people will die probably during the New Jerusalem, during the millennial kingdom, because they're still in unglorified bodies. After the millennium, many unsaved descendants of believers who survive the tribulation in natural bodies are deceived by Satan to rebel against Christ at the battle of Gog and Magog, so God slays them. This is in Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 through 9. Then all unbelievers in history are resurrected into bodies of shame and everlasting contempt, according to Daniel 12:2, to stand before Christ's great white throne judgment. And God causes the old universe to pass away with great heat and noise in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 13, and 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Death and hell, or Hades, along with the unsaved, are cast into the lake of fire, where they are tormented day and night forever and ever. Revelation 20, verse 10, and verses 14 to 15, 2 Thessalonians 1, 9. God then creates a new universe, Revelation 21, 1, and incidentally, there's no sea in it. And the reason for that is sea is a place where man cannot go, and it's foreboding. So God removes sea. There's no more sea. You'll have the river of life. You'll have the Dead Sea where people, but there's no sea where man can't go. And by deduction, we believe that millennium saints are resurrected if deceased, or translated if alive, along with tribulation saints who survived the tribulation and who might still be alive in natural bodies. The New Jerusalem then descends to the earth in Revelation chapter 21, verse 2. And that's where God dwells on the earth. God the Father and God the Son dwell on the earth in the New Jerusalem. There's no temple there because God the Father and God the Son are the temple. They are. If you want to talk to God, you go directly to him. And God will say, come in, have a seat, sit down, let's talk. It's going to be a wonderful time. You'll be able to fellowship with God like Adam and Eve did before they sinned. Then, the eternal future then occurs with all saints of all ages in glorified bodies, as noted in Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 to 22, verse 5. And the servants of God will serve him forever and will rule with him forever, which is an amazing thing. So the lesson is every mortal human being in history will either be judged to be eternally punished in torment or be blessed to rule with the Lord forever based on how he or she responded to God's offer of salvation in Jesus Christ. So may we believe in Christ that we might have eternal life. May we believers in the church do God's will for us that we might be rewarded at Christ's bema seat. And may we disciple the world for Christ. Now, just a note on the chart when we get to the chart. This chart is by no means an exhaustive chart on everything that occurs in prophecy. You'd have to have a chart that is at least 2.5, maybe even 3 feet long in order to do that. And you can't put that on a printer. Most of the questions that I've been dealt with have been concerns about what happens to unsaved family members that I know. And so this is what this deals with. This chart is designed, if you want to take it, and you can copy it. There's no copyright law. I haven't copyrighted this or anything. You can copy it on a home copier. And Kathy Brunetti, who copied the lessons out, made 15 extra copies. So if you want to take the chart, you can. Otherwise, you can run it off. And it's designed to fold up and put in your Bible so you can carry it with you. But now what I'd like to do is just look at the chart, and we're going to apply all that information. On the chart that you see, there's a timeline that goes from eternity past over to eternity future. And we have it broken down into Old Testament before the cross, then church, the tribulation period, which is broken into the first half and the second half. Then there's this 30-day and 45-day period, the squish period between the end of the tribulation and the millennium, and we'll talk about that. There's the millennium, there's the great white throne, and then there's the new universe. Now, you'll notice at the legend, those who are living, you have long arrows, okay? The dead, you have short arrows interspersed with dotted lines. The resurrection to shame, those who are resurrected to shame, you have a solid line with a bunch of arrow marks on it. That distinguishes the three different people. Now, when people die, whether it's the Old Testament, the church, the first or the second half of the tribulation, the 30 days and so forth, the millennial kingdom, when people die who do not know Christ as their Savior, who have rejected God, they're sent to hell. Another word for hell is Hades. That's in this lower dotted line. What happens to them at the great white throne judgment, they're resurrected into bodies of shame that are designed to last, to deal with hell and experience enormous torment and whatnot. They're judged by their works, and then they're all cast into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire goes on and on and on into eternity future. There's no end to that. Okay? That's what happens to the unsaved. If you back up to the chart, just in the Old Testament, you have a dotted line of Old Testament saints going up. Those are Old Testament saints who die. You'll notice the dotted line continues, and the dotted line comes down and enters into the millennial kingdom, where Old Testament saints survive. You'll notice that there's a solid line for Elijah and Enoch because they go up in bodies that are glorified. Enoch and Elijah are above that line, and then they come down at the same time as the Old Testament tribulation saints. And so you enter into the millennial kingdom with Old Testament saints, Old Testament trib saints, Old Testament trib saints that go on and on and on. When you get to the two witnesses just before the Armageddon, the two witnesses go up, they're resurrected, they're up there, and they come down with Enoch and Elijah in glorified bodies, and they with the Old Testament and the tribulation saints go on. The church is different. The church is raptured. This is after the cross. You've got dead Christians going up in dotted lines. At the rapture, they come all the way back down to the earth, where they enter into their bodies and are translated and caught up, then we who are remaining alive, we're caught up in the rapture to be with them. And then the church is up here in this area. That's where the bema seat of Christ occurs. Then the church comes back at the second coming of Christ, and the church goes through that 30-day and 45-day period preparation, and then the church goes on. Now, the tribulation is broken into two halves because the first half, the Antichrist, it makes peace with Israel. But he breaks his treaty with Israel halfway through it. That's 3.5 years into it. And that's where everything cuts loose and there is enormous suffering that occurs at that point. Armageddon occurs near the end of that second half, and Christ comes back at the peak of the Armageddon. And at that particular point, the angels gather all the unsaved people, and they're taken and cast into Hades or hell. You've heard stories in Matthew 24 about one is at the mill, one's taken, and so forth. You do not want, that's not the rapture. You do not want to be the one that's taken. The one that's taken is sent to hell. The one who remains goes into the kingdom. Because that's not talking about the church in Matthew 24. It's talking about the people who survived the tribulation period. Then you have tribulation saints who have survived in natural bodies all through this time. So they're surviving, and they go through the millennial kingdom, and they're the ones that propagate the children, and many of them are the ones who rebel against God, Gog and Magog. But during the millennial period, there are people in natural bodies who will probably die. The question is, what happens to them? We're not told in Scripture, but by deduction we assume that they're going to be caught up. Their souls will go up to the New Jerusalem, and they will continue there until the New Jerusalem actually comes down on the earth. And then apparently they're raised, and they go on forever living that way. So you have the New Jerusalem is right now in heaven on high. It hovers over the earth during the millennial kingdom. And then in the new universe, it actually comes down and touches on the earth and joins it. And, okay, hopefully that's answering your questions. Now.